We are still in the season of waiting, aren't we? In the church, we are still in the season of Advent. And in the world around us, we are still waiting for the real impact of the coronavirus vaccine. There's still lots of research and lots of questions to be answered. But as we've been hearing on the news and from the medical experts, we are getting there. We are getting there. And today, the fourth Sunday of Advent, in the church, we are getting there. Because we are in the final countdown to Christmas, with just a few days to go, as we are on the verge of celebrating the coming of Jesus. We have journeyed together through Advent when our in-person worship was suspended due to health and safety concerns. Nevertheless, we have participated in our Advent reflections. We have responded to prayer requests and offered words of comfort and hope to many who are lonely, many who are grieving, or who have suffered a loss. Last Thursday evening, our Blue Christmas service provided an opportunity for mutual support. I must say, though, that if you are a good planner, perhaps you're quite detail-oriented and organized. You have probably sent out all of your Christmas cards, electronically, of course, and you have ordered all your gifts for pickup or delivery. Then there are those of us who could use a few more days or perhaps a few more weeks as we realize that some things just won't get done, neither this week or this year. During Advent, we met John the Baptist, whose primary purpose was to announce the coming of the Lord. Now, here we are today, like an expectant parent on the verge of celebrating the birth of Jesus. The gospel reading for today focuses on Mary, who was called to be the mother of Christ. And as we heard just a few minutes ago, the gospel reading picks up when the angel Gabriel appeared and told Mary that she would give birth to a son to be called Jesus. Now, anyone who is a parent knows that parenting is a special privilege and a great responsibility. In many cultures and contexts, the parenting responsibilities are lovingly shared by other family members and certainly by godparents as well. And they help to shape a young life and to set an example by the way we live. Now, until the angel's unexpected visit, we are told that Mary's life had been quite routine and ordinary. She had recently become engaged to a carpenter named Joseph, and she was looking forward to marriage. According to the law and the custom of the day, engagements were considered to be as binding as marriage. So you can imagine Mary's amazement when the angel told her that she would be the mother of Christ. Oh, really? She must have thought. Luke tells us that she was much perplexed by his words, that is, the words of the angels, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. We know that Mary's life was about to change, as she was given the unique privilege of being the mother to the Son of God. Who would have expected that a young woman from a humble background, with obvious strikes against her in the society of that time, would be given such an honor? But the angel continued to describe what would happen. And we know from the scripture reading that Mary became even more confused as the details of how she would conceive were not discussed. So she said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" It was at that time that the angel assured Mary that she was not alone in this mysterious revelation of God's plan of redemption, but that God was also working through her cousin Elizabeth, who would also give birth to a son. We now know that the angel was referring to Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. And it was at this time that the angel also assured Mary that God has chosen her, for nothing will be impossible with God. So from the reading this morning, we know that despite her initial hesitation, Mary responded, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." So my friends, I pose this question to each and every one of us today. How are we responding to God's invitation? Do we say, "I don't know if I have what it takes"? And as we approach some parishioners in the next few weeks to ask you to serve as officers in the church, I know that you have what it takes. So please do the right thing and say yes. Some people say, "I don't know if I have what it takes." Others say, "I'm so busy. Is there anyone else?" I'm sure that we've all said that at one time or another. Or do we say, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Use me, Lord, as you will," following the example of Mary. Mary is remembered, firstly, as the mother of Jesus, as she's often identified in this way to differentiate her from the other Marys in Scripture. Secondly, it is believed that she was the only human who was with Jesus from birth to death. Most importantly, she was willing to be available to God. Mary's response to the good news is summed up in Mary's song of praise, known as the Magnificat. And you heard an interpretation of that in our first hymn this morning. But it's recorded in Scripture as verses 46 to 55 of this first chapter of Luke. And in her song of praise, Mary glorified God for what he was going to do for the world through her. But the Magnificat is primarily thanksgiving for how God has taken care of the weak and the humble. So some quick lessons from Mary's life. First of all, God's most faithful servants are often ordinary people who make themselves available to him. We also know that God's plans often involve incredible events in the lives of ordinary people like Mary, like Elizabeth. Thirdly, our own character is often revealed through our response to the unexpected. So, in summary, the gospel reading introduced us to Mary, who was confused by the news that she would become pregnant. But she was still able to tell the angel that he could count on her and that God could depend on her. With the cooperation of Mary, our Savior came into the world. Mary was faithful and would have the unique privilege to be the mother of Jesus. God's grace touched her, and she allowed herself to be used by God. And we too can be more like Mary and allow ourselves to be instruments of God's love for the world. But we must trust God completely and let him work through us. Let us keep living for him, for our God is faithful, and we know that we can depend on him. So are we ready for Christmas? And are we prepared to be used by God? Let us pray. Prince of Peace, in this time of waiting, give us the will to do what should require little strength, to trust you, and to leave everything in your care. Thanks be to God. Amen.